Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The latest and the most factual, nonpartisan COVID conversation. And Dr. Hardiman, an ENT with Gateway ENT, is on with us again. Doctor, thank you. Sorry for the delay here. That was my fault. And glad that you could stick around and have this conversation again with us.
No problem. Happy Monday to you guys.
You as well. Ryan, did you want to kick it off with a question here? You want to start the conversation?
Yeah, well, just overall, Dr. Hardiman, it seems as if we're talking about coronavirus cases quite a bit again, which either means that President Trump is having a good week or coronavirus cases are up. You know, I was just wondering what your perspective was, medically speaking. Are we actually in an upswing here?
It does seem like the overall numbers of cases across the country are up a bit. I think when we focus in kind of on the microcosm here in Missouri, a lot of the areas around St. Louis are actually pretty good. Our case numbers have been very steady or declining. In fact, I think there was one other state that was showing a 10% reduction in total numbers of cases or in the overall numbers. But generally speaking, we're kind of seeing a little bit of an uptick in the number of cases. Most in Missouri are in outlying areas. A lot of the patients that are being hospitalized are mobilizing into metropolitan areas in here in Kansas City. So I think this is not, you know, to be unexpected. We're going to see these ebbs and flows based upon other respiratory illnesses. And as we continue to sort of get out and start to integrate in society a little bit more as well.
We're speaking with Dr. Scott Hardiman. Check out urgentspecialist.com. Great place to get your urgent care in the event that you need it. Vaccines is the big discussion right now. There's certainly political conversation that surrounds this. But my question to you is, what does this vaccine have to go through in order for it to get to the point where nobody in the Midwest like myself could end up getting this? How can I have confidence that the vaccine is a safe vaccine to get and is not just out there and accessible because it's going to score political points for one person or the other?
Sure. I think there's currently multiple vaccines that are in one phase or another of trial, some very early developmental, but there's about five that are in phase three studies, which means that they're out being given to healthy volunteers, and then they'll be surveyed over a period of time in an attempt to try and determine, you know, if they have less risk of getting the illness or if they do get it, if it was a milder course of things. The vaccines are not 100% effective every one they get. These major contenders do seem like they induce a fairly significant immune response early on, which is why they've made it in rapid fashion to a rapid time period to the phase three trials like that. So, you know, the way to get this all under control is not just simply through a vaccine. It's sort of a myriad of different things, including therapeutics and sort of natural selection in the community, but also through vaccination. And I think time will tell that from a safety perspective and also an efficacy standpoint, whether or not the vaccines can reach that sort of herd immunity to slow down the transmission of this. It's not going to go away. You know, we have seasonal influenza every year. We have other illnesses that kind of come back, RSV. There are many that tend to cycle through during the respiratory months of the year. So this is going to be, you know, added to the list of those. But generally, I would say if we can develop enough of an immunity within our society that you're not seeing rapid transmission, and then heaven forbid, obviously, hitting the older, more infirm population and causing them to be hospitalized or worse, dying.
Question from the Annie Fry Show Facebook page for Dr. Hardiman. Jenny says, Trump is touting immunity to COVID-19. I'm talking about kissing people at his audience. I've had COVID and I don't feel as confident.
Leave it to him to make it weird.
I don't feel as confident about not getting it again. Looking at the limited information I've seen about it, what do you think? Is there immunity?
I would generally say yes. There's a handful of cases, and literally, I mean, a handful of cases of documented reinfection that are out there. And those are, you know, we don't know exactly the whole story behind all of those, but when in genomic sequences, it seems like there's different viral strains that have been identified in those individuals. But I think largely, hence the reason we're shooting for vaccines as well, is that you can develop an immune response to this. Certainly in the near short term, I would feel pretty confident that you're going to be okay from an immune perspective, that if you were 2, 3, 4, 5 months after the onset and recovery of the illness, that you're going to be in pretty good shape. But I think, like everything else with this, we're learning every day, and I think you have to be, you know, cognizant of any possibility. But having had it before and developing antibodies to it, developing T-cell immunity to it, those are all very positive things. That's the way our immune system works, and I would feel, you know, relatively confident in that regard.
We have a question from Brad on our Annie Fry YouTube page. Are we seeing these upticks in areas that haven't seen outbreaks, or are they in areas that have already had a widespread outbreak?
I think the former. There's, like I said, little ebbs and flows in areas just based upon clusters within metropolitan areas. But as it seemed across the country, the areas that seem to be seeing a swing in cases seem to be places that hadn't really had that exposure before. And it's interesting. I was thinking this morning in reading some articles about preparing for this, that the, you know, every first it's, you know, schools are going to cause transmission, then it's churches are going to cause transmission. And now we've gone to the don't have small family gatherings at Thanksgiving and Christmas. To be honest, I think there's a lot of conjecture out there. I don't know that we all know with 100% certainty exactly what makes these contagious events take place. They're super spreader events, but we've also known families where a husband may get it and their wife may not, or kids in the family get it and adults don't. So there's a lot of mystery behind respiratory illnesses. It really boils down to the level of exposure. But by and large, I think where it seems to be hitting is in areas that didn't see a big uptake early on.
Doctor, one last question before we let you go here. You know, you talking about what you are reading in the morning to, you know, have these conversations. Just one, I ask you this every once in a while, and I think it's such an important thing for myself to hear, and I'm certain my listeners enjoy this as well. What's the one thing that you want people, if you could scream from the mountaintops and get to every person in this country right now to tell them about COVID, what's the one thing you want them to know the most?
Well, I think there's several things I would have to say, but probably singular would be just try not to be afraid of this. It's very easy with misinformation and with just the overwhelming 24-hour news cycle to always live in fear of something like this. And, you know, we're a pretty robust species. We've got a good immune system, and the vast majority of people that get this thing recover. We just need to continue to help isolate and identify those that are most at risk and protect them while we continue working towards therapeutics. So don't live in fear. Just have a bit of a respect for it. And, you know, we have to carry on with life a bit.
Have you made Thanksgiving plans yet?
Beginning to? Not fully yet. Yes.
Are you thinking that there's a way to safely gather for Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I think like most families, we'll probably gather as a relatively small family. We have older parents and have to be concerned about that. My level of exposure is probably more than most just because I'm in the healthcare environment. But to some degree, we all have some exposures. So I think if you lead up towards that Thanksgiving time and you're extra cautious, perhaps if you're going to be getting together in small groups or with older individuals or higher risk individuals, to perhaps maybe isolate a bit more for the 7 to 10, maybe 14 days prior to that. That will help to limit your potential of contracting something that you could pass to someone else. Well, it's going to be probably chilly like most Thanksgivings, but ventilating the environment well is good. And trying to keep the group sizes relatively small, I think, are all important things to do. And then, of course, follow if you're ill or have any inkling that you have some sort of respiratory illness, you know, don't go. Just stay home, even if it's likely to not be COVID, obviously, statistically, but try not to go and potentially expose other people, which is the right thing to do with any respiratory illness, right?
For sure. And we're learning that. I think that's one of the things that's going to come of this. Hopefully the way we handle ourselves being under the weather, hopefully we'll be a little more cautious about that. Dr. Scott Hardiman, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to speak with you and get the information from a medical perspective. We're grateful for you.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.